Wow, if I say I'm moved, I'm underestimating the feeling I have right now. I've just come out of the theatre. What was I just watching?
You were just watching a live streaming performance of a new play called Catcher in Their Eye.
And you were the leading lady.
I was the leading lady, yes. The character of Sunny is her name, and my name is Mitzi Thaddeus.
And I must say, the people that I was talking to online that were watching remotely probably got 5% of what was actually happening. Emotionally, it was phenomenal. And I go to the theatre a lot, but because I take photographs at the theatre, I think that I've been filtering the reality of what's going on.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot. I think that happens a lot because sort of with the technical people as well, it just, you know, it's work. So it's hard to sort of separate those two things.
So give me a brief synopsis of the story, because it was genius. Where did it come from? Who wrote?
Well, actually, Marcus Romer, who is Pilot Theatre's artistic director, he commissioned Richard Herford, who wrote the play. And they wanted to do Catcher in Their Eye, but you can't. Sorry, Catcher in the Rye, but you can't get the rights for it.
You can't get the rights to do Catcher in the Rye?
No, J.D. Salinger, after Mark Chapman, said, forget it, no one's doing it as a movie,
wow.
No one's doing it as a play, nothing, so you can't get it. So Marcus commissioned Richard to do, you know, a variation on the theme.
So did J.D. Salinger think that by watching Catcher in the Rye as a play, it would open up his book to more people and they would all become assassins?
I think so. I mean, I can't speak for him 100%, but I think that was sort of the thing, yeah.
So there you are. You're playing an incredibly complex and, well, incredible character, the mysterious lady.
The mysterious lady, yes, who may or may not have existed, but in this version does. Yeah, and it's nice because as an actress' perspective, such a wide range. I get to play her then and now. And
yeah, a lot of the content was brought up to date a little bit.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's basically what might have happened between Mark Chapman and the prostitute that he said in his confession he got to his room. Now, no one knows if that actually happened, but because he was doing what Holden Caulfield did in the book, get a hooker up to your room, and that whole chapter. I don't know if you read the book or not, but chapter 13.
You've never read the book?
No, I said I don't know if you've read the book.
I've read the book.
I've read it a couple times now. But that part where...
Let me just say that if anybody has not read Catcher in the Rye, please turn this off right now. Go away. Do something very, very important. Read the book.
Yeah, go, exactly. If we do nothing else today.
It might take longer than a day.
Yeah, right.
Hey, come here.
I got to take this phone call.
Oh, someone else with an accent.
Celebrity.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's basically what could have happened in that room with the prostitute that Mark Chapman did or didn't get. And essentially, basically, how it ties into today is that if this woman did exist, and she did have this experience with Mark Chapman the night before he shot John Lennon, what happened to her? You know, and especially in this day and age where everybody's, you know, we're all chomping for the tiniest bit of celebrity. You know, it's like you just see people on all these reality TV shows and everybody wants their 5 minutes. And she could have, she could have walked out and gone, oh, I was the prostitute that, you know, she could have got her 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. But, you know, she doesn't.
She almost becomes anti-celebrity because of what happens. I don't want to give away the end, but I mean, oh. How does somebody get to see this now?
Well, that's the next thing.
Is the live stream archived?
Good question. I don't know.
If the live stream is archived, then people are only going to get 5% of what I felt by watching, because there was a particular scene. Initially, the shock as well of you kind of taking the coat off, which I was ready for, but I wasn't, because you suddenly switched to extremely sassy. And I thought, oh my God, this is getting dirty in one way, but what is he going to do?
Yeah.
And he's just walked to the bar.
Yes.
And
yeah,
there was
precisely.
Another part when he talks about pushing the button, about being kind of God of the little people, and I felt that so politically, oh, just, it spoke volumes that, I don't know, giving goosebumps as well, so. All in all, I've been, I guess, reborn into taking the filters away before the theatrical performance. I feel like I have to be present more.
because so that's interesting for me because I mean a huge part of this, like we had 2 weeks to rehearse, and then you know, and actually the way that it was sold for this conference was that it was just, you know, it was fine if it was just us chairs and a script, but we had a director and 2 actors that just wanted to go for it. So you know, that was
how long did it take?
2 weeks.
Wow, 2 weeks, very, very well spent.
So yeah, normally you get at least 3.5 for something like that. But no, we were all really up for it. But I mean, but the main point was to do this streaming thing, right? And to see, you know, how, you know, if it works, if it's going to work.
Well, there's probably, because of the kind of lack of advertising online initially, and you're dependent on people being online right now, there was probably the same amount of people watching outside than there were inside. But those people were international.
That's right. I mean, my mother just called me as soon as I got off.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. She called me as soon as I got off. She was crying.
Oh, my God. That's great. I know she's emotionally involved, but
yes.
She was moved too.
She was
moved too. How grateful to see you actually on the stage in England.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Oh, great. She's in our house in Vancouver, it was great. And it was so and immediate, too. Not like, you know, an hour after I got off stage. I was right when I got into my dressing room. She was like...
She knew you'd finish.
I finished. I was done. So, she was really moved, and I got 2 text messages from other friends in London, but just right away, saying that was brilliant, loved it, so, you know, I think...
Yeah, that's great.
Can never know if...
They've got to get on the train and get here, though, really, haven't they?
Well, hopefully we'll have a screening somewhere, or an actual performance somewhere else.
Go away. I'm blown away.
Really?
You've just missed the conversation we've had about how important I think it is... for the people that are engaging online to actually come and see this with their own eyes.
I hope that is made possible. I mean, that would be lovely. You know?
It would be good. And I think that, I think that we maybe should push for this. I know he's talking about getting, you know... the fact that, I go to the theatre and I do a lot of theatre photography, but because I'm taking photographs, I've got a lot of other things to think about.
Right.
And the filter is always there, it's the lens. I'm thinking about composition and the light and all the rest of it. But for me to sit down there and not have anything else in my mind other than absorbing what's happening before me, I was genuinely more moved than I have been when absorbing any kind of media. And I absorb a lot of media.
Wow, thank you very much. That's a huge compliment.
In particular, the section where you want to destroy all the little people with a button.
Yeah.
Politically, it's really powerful. How did you feel about it being streamed?
Well, it's daunting because it's something that never happens. It's something that we never do, you know. I mean, it's there's theater and there's online. And I've done online drama myself, actually. But, you know, never the twain shall meet. It's always... So it's very interesting to sort of have those two things sort of bleed into one another. But I think it's really interesting, and I also think it's really important because there's a whole, you know, theater-going audiences are getting, I'm going to get killed for saying this, but they're getting older and older and older, you know, and the people who are buying tickets to the theater, especially for places, you know, the bigger houses, shall we say, like the Theatre Royal, like Bath, you know, sort of more established houses, it's very much a case of, you know... sort of the Blue Rinse Brigade are the ones who actually pay the bills. And I think it's really important for the survival of theatre. I'd never want to alienate or belittle those audiences at all.
The people that are loyal to the theatre.
They're loyal to the theatre and they have been throughout their life. Yeah. And I'm not belittling them at all. But
this might be because they've been there. They felt it. They know it. Whereas we're the TV generation.
Well, exactly. And I think that streaming may be a way into sort of the hearts and minds of those people.
I think streaming with the combination of people in the audience like myself who can talk to those watching the stream to say you're only getting 5%, because that's what I felt. I really felt that there was only a fraction of it getting out of the room.
Yeah, I mean, I think the important thing is that you give someone a taste, you know what I mean? Because there's people that haven't even, that have never come across a theatre. There's people that live, there's so many towns, especially now that, you know, there's so many rep theatres and stuff that have closed down for various reasons to do with funding and all that sort of stuff, but... If you can just give people a taste of what it's like, you know, it might make them travel that extra 10 miles to go to get to the theatre, to do all that sort of stuff, you know.
So how do you feel about the thought that maybe the final dress rehearsal should be streamed?
Just in
portions to entice people. Do you think it would give too much away?
It might. I mean...
Watch it yourself?
If I was involved in the show?
To hone your final performance, the actual live performance.
I'm not sure if I'd watch a dress rehearsal that I was in, or, well, I don't know, it's a tricky question, because it would be one of those things that would be sort of tempting, but, you know, it would be in the corner and you'd kind of want to watch it, but you'd feel a little bit dirty doing it, you know. there used to be a line in the play.
I do a lot of video online and I hate watching myself.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's just the same for an actor. An actor feels exactly the same way watching themselves back, so that would be tough. And you know, it's a bit like looking in the mirror doing a speech. It doesn't really work, you know, you become too self-conscious, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, forget about me, because I love the theater. You know, all the people who are involved, we all love it. So I think it's much more important to get the people who don't know anything about it interested in it. You know, there's a whole generation of, and I'm talking about even younger than myself, which makes me feel a little bit old actually. But there's a whole generation of people who just have no interest in it because they've never come across it before. You know, and I think that this is a really interesting way of solving that problem, and getting people. Yeah, like I said, just getting people to come in and have a go, you know what I mean? Because if you see something and it really moves you from your computer, then you can only assume that, you know, like you said, the experience will be 10 times more when you actually get there. So it might get some of those people through the door.
Definitely. Now,
give us your name.
My name's Ronan Summers.